there's a progression about Santa Claus. You believe in Santa Claus, you don't believe in Santa Claus. You are Santa Claus, and then you look like Santa Claus. How many of y'all have ever eaten cookies and milk that were put out for Santa Claus? All right, I won't say anything else. Well, this morning I want to talk about divine involvement. Divine involvement. It's interesting, isn't it, when you look at the scriptures that that talk about all that God did. And I don't know if we kind of, I'm going to use a word that maybe we kind of romance in some of these things, and it's a little bit like a fairy tale sometimes, at least to the world. And yet, I mean, if you really try to imagine yourself being in the place back at that time when God was moving, and you got angels appearing, you got miracles happening. I mean, things that cannot be explained in the natural, right? So what does that mean for us today in 2011? A nice feeling, some nice lights, and Richard, and can we have all the crew that was here yesterday stand up? Leslie, and where are y'all? Leslie, where are you? Where's Leslie? Oh, she went in the back. Okay. And everybody else, John, and is Jacob here? Jacob? No? Okay. Well, anybody else, thank y'all so much. I mean, it looks very nice. But it's more than just this tree, which I hope doesn't fall off this woofer, you know. Oh, it is? Okay. Praise God. My safety background always just catches those kind of things. And we just, I don't know where I'm going with this, y'all, but I'm just trying to wake y'all up a little bit. But yesterday, not yesterday, Friday, and Lee will appreciate this, we had a Lee Patterson, because he's a farmer agent, insurance agent, sorry, farmer agent. But we had a building inspector come for our new insurance provider. And so anyway, one of the questions that he asked me was, do you ever have any open flames in the church? And I told him no, that we didn't, you know, regularly have open flame. And then I come in this morning and we have open flame. So I'm trying to do, okay, what do I do with that as far as communion? Can I call this guy? Hey, John, I want you to know we did have open flame. And you send out cards and you go shopping and all those kind of things. And the challenge, I mean, I've been here for, a long time. I've been here since the beginning in 1991. But pastoring, you know, I mean, the truth is it's challenging because there's only so many stories, right, Fred, in there. And so I wasn't necessarily looking, you know, for something that would be different. Actually, I was looking for God to speak to me. And the last few weeks, the thing, and I'm just sharing out of my heart, God really speaks to me through the scripture. The truth is, do you remember in the beginning of the year, and I said this, this is a real long introduction, isn't it? But I said something in January and that came out of a study, just studying Ephesians. And I said to us, I said, you know, that God is really emphasizing our choices. I mean, every year, God emphasizes our choices. That's not some great revelation. But there was something that God was speaking to us and would speak to us throughout this year. I didn't realize that how much that would be for me. And I said to you, because the book of Ephesians teaches us that the power of the Holy Spirit comes to motivate us to make the right choices that would please God. And then I talked to you about trust. An area in my life that God was really, I'm going to say it, he was dealing with me about. Because it's easy to get up, whether you're a pastor or whether you work with youth or you teach or you're talking to your kids, and talk about what should be and what could be. And then you realize what should be and what could be is lacking in your own heart. And you got 200 people looking at you. Well, I'm saying all that to say to us, God is asking us, God is saying to us, are there places in your heart that you need to surrender? God is saying, what are the spiritual impingements? And I'm not going to go away from this because I believe that it was a very prophetic thing just a couple of Sundays ago. And I'm saying to you, and even before I start on my message, God is working in my heart. In other words, God is asking me, what is the spiritual impingement in your life, in your heart? What are those places? Because if we think about divine involvement, I mean, we think about what? We think about light. How many lights are on this tree, Richard? 1,200 lights. Wow. Y'all want to count them? Let's see. Y'all can't. No, I'm just kidding. And you, so when I say spiritual darkness, we go, ooh. I don't like to talk about spiritual darkness. But do you understand? If we continue to hold something, we're not bringing it into the light. And are there any bad people here today? Nancy, put your hand down. I've worked with you a long time. You're not a bad person. I mean, I think I know all of you. I may not know our guests, but I believe you're good people. I believe that you are, many of you, I mean, I think most of you are, I mean, do you consider yourself mature? You don't have to answer. And spouses don't answer for your spouse, okay? So can good men and women be better? Can they have a deeper trust for God? Because, I mean, God was definitely speaking to me, and sometimes y'all are on the journey with me, about trust. And so I want to read from Luke. It's a lot of scriptures, okay? So I'm going to break it down. I want to read from Luke 1. We're going to start in verse 57. This is and going to read through 66, and then we're going to stop right there. All right. This is obviously about Elizabeth and Zechariah and John the Baptist. So let's begin to read verse 57. It says, when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors, now listen to this, this is important. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. Okay, that's important. And so on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, no, he is to be called John. Now remember, the neighbors and the relatives were there, okay? All right. They said to her, there is no one among your relatives who has that name. It's like, why in the world are you going to name him John? And if you remember, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but if you remember what happened to Zechariah, so then look at verse 62. It said, then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. Now remember, he cannot speak. Remember earlier in the chapter. So he asked for a writing tablet, which probably was a tablet with wax on it. And to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, and they were expecting for it to be Zechariah Jr., but it wasn't. He said, his name is John. Now immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God, and all the neighbors were filled with awe. And throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, what then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him. It's interesting when we read through many of the scriptures that talk about the coming of the Messiah, and you see God doing, I mean, his involvement, divine involvement, things happening, and you see, as I said, you see Gabriel moving around and them having these appearances, and they're just simple, faithful Jewish people, and so they're trying to handle divine involvement the very best that they can. And Zechariah is, I mean, he's a great man. He's a faithful man. I mean, he's a godly man. I mean, he's faithful, you know, in his priestly duties, and there's a lot of good things that you could say about him. But just listen to what happened, just to make sure that we understand. In Luke, just listen to this, verses 18 through 20, because he's having this conversation with Gabriel, who's told him that Elizabeth is going to have a child. And that's difficult for him to understand because they're up in age. Like they're really up in age, and she hasn't had a child. And so Zechariah asked the angel, he said, how can I be sure of this? You ever say that to God? How can I be sure of this, God? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years. And the angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. Now, you know, when you read this story, and I wanted to go back to make sure that you understood the connection between that happening several months before the verses in beginning in verse 57. So, I mean, in his defense, you're an old man and your wife has never had a child, and you have an angel appear to you. I tell you, your wife's going to have a child, and he's going to be one that will prepare the way for the Messiah to come. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, in his defense, but he asked the question, how can I be sure of this? And because he doesn't trust what Gabriel is saying, and Gabriel is saying, hey, I've been in God's presence, and I've been sent to tell you, divine involvement, this is going to happen. And so what's going to happen is you're not going to be able to speak until this comes to pass. Now, here's a really good man who's made a mistake. And when I started in this chapter, I was going to preach a message, and I may preach it, in the future sometimes, about the way of peace. And then the more I read it and study it, then I say, wait a minute, God, I see a little bit of myself, not in the vision part, but God, I believe that you've helped me to be a good man by the grace of God. But I see some things in my heart where I've not trusted you. And so I want to just highlight some things this morning, because I believe that good men and women no matter how long that you've had a relationship with the Lord, and that God wants us to grow, that there are things that God, that we just don't come and we stagnate and we say, hey, you know, Wes, sorry, Wes, you're here at the front again, but where Wes just says, you know, I'm really God. I mean, I'm playing guitar. I mean, I'm a good witness at my job. I'm trying to be a good husband, good dad. I'm doing all these kind of things. And he says, you know, I'm just going to put it on cruise control. Do you understand that sometimes, and I'm not saying God lets us make mistakes, but when we do make a mistake and God says, you know, I want to deal with something in your heart, then there's a way to go through that. And Zechariah is a great example of that. Here's the first thing. Zechariah learned from his mistakes, or his mistake, because his heart was right with God. I mean, ultimately, and sometimes, you know, when things happen, you know, God is showing us things about our heart. I mean, we have said recently, do we need more power of the Holy Spirit? No, because the Holy Spirit doesn't need to be amped up, right? I mean, he doesn't have a power problem, but what we need to do is to be able to surrender. And so, you know, if you look at, just look down to verse 74, this is the heart of what he felt towards God. And it says this, and this is his prayer, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, he's talking about the Romans, and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. I mean, his heart was, and this whole thing, and the promise of the Messiah is, you know, I want God's people and myself to be able to serve the Lord without fear of being under control by the Romans. I mean, that's his heart is right, and he's been a faithful man. That's important, that when we make a mistake or when God, you know, really comes in and there's divine involvement in our lives and God wants to change something or he's challenging something in us, listen, we need to learn the lesson. That's what mature people do. And it's not like, you know, woe is me. It's you know, Wes has a good attitude. And if God wants to change something in Wes and he takes him through a season where things are quiet, then it gives Wes a time to really reflect on what God is doing and for Wes to become what God desires. Good Christmas message, huh? Pastor Dennis, I thought Christmas was supposed to be about, you know, declaring peace to those that don't know the Lord. Well, this is what I felt prompted, is God is working in our hearts because he does want us out there, and we are out there. But you understand, God wants us to be surrendered. And he's bringing things into the light. I don't mean it, and not in a negative way, y'all. And so when we go through those kind of things, because if our heart is right, and I believe that y'all's hearts are right, correct? I believe that y'all are mature people. I mean, many of y'all have been walking with the Lord for 20 plus years. Let me see your hands. It's a lot, isn't it? So God says something to you, and you say, how can I be sure of this? Did you hear and what Gabriel's response is? I mean, God doesn't like it when we question him. I believe that's right. And there are those significant words. There's those significant things that God wants to do in us. And sometimes God takes us through kind of difficult things and allows us to just reflect on what he's doing in our lives. Ken's not here today, but I have it in my notes, Deanie. But God desires for Ken and Deanie to have a deeper trust of him. Isn't that right, Deanie? How about the elders? About Brian and Miranda, Matt and Megan, Steve and Carrie, Barrett and Jared, and Mary. I mean, it doesn't matter. You understand? This is just, whether you've been, well, I'm not going to get into the age thing, okay? Yeah, good. My daughter. God desires a deeper trust. And sometimes we're going to go through things and he's going to be, and there are going to be circumstances and things that are going to look, you're going to go, and you do go, man, God, what's going on here? Secondly, Zechariah did what God told him to do, not what others expected. I mean, the relatives are there, right? The friends are there. And what do they want the child to be named? Zechariah Jr. We were in Mexico, my wife and I, you know, her family, she has family in Mexico and in the valley, and they use that term junior a lot, right? And so one of the dads hollered out, Junior! And all of a sudden, about six little boys turned around. Now, these are relatives. These are friends. These are neighbors. And they are excited. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, the ladies must be just, you know, buzzing. Oh, man, Elizabeth's going to have a baby. Well, that's probably a man's way of doing it. Elizabeth's going to have a baby. That is so exciting. She hasn't been able to have a baby for 120 years. And they mean well, don't they? And it seems right. Zechariah Jr. Now, let me give the ladies credit. Now, Elizabeth speaks it first, doesn't she? She says, no. If you look in my Bible, there's an exclamation point behind no. His name is going to be John. 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 I don't have any relatives named John. I mean, this sends a shockwave through this gathering. What? You're going to name your son John? Everybody's got that name. And then they go, well, we'll see if we can cause some conflict between Elizabeth and Zechariah. So look at verse 62. Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. And so he asked for a writing tablet. And to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. See, because they thought for sure after all these months of reflection and not being able to speak that he would name his son Zechariah or some name that would be, you know, that would be in line with the family. But Elizabeth and Zechariah are the same spirit. They both say, no, his name is John. Now, you understand, I mean, if you talk about, you know, he learned his lesson, he did, because if you go back, obviously, Gabriel told him, what did he say? He said, Elizabeth's going to have a son, and his name is going to be John. See, he didn't give in to what his relatives or what his friends or what the expectation is. You know, one of the things that I've been wrestling with over this year is that very thing, because there's a important choice that I've been having to make. And people come, and I even met with somebody recently this week, and they were talking, you know, about some of the dynamics around it. And there's an expectation of, you know, what I should do. And God is saying, no, you're not. because there are lessons that you have learned about trusting me in this process. But the people at the church, you know, I mean, they're expecting it, or my mom's expecting it, or my brother's expecting it, or, you know, the elders at my church are expecting it. Part of what you see in Zechariah's life is that he learned his lesson because he did what God told him to do. And you know what? Husbands and wives, Elizabeth and Zechariah were together. They were unified in that. Now, do you understand that this, let me make sure that you understand what's happened. For several months, I don't know if it's 5 or 6 months or something like that. I saw one thing it talked about, maybe 5. I mean, he's not been able to speak. I mean, imagine how tough that would be. Your wife, who's not been able to have a child, and you're both getting up in years, and it's not just any child. It's a divine, there's a destiny, there's a purpose that John the Baptist, as we know, will have. And he can't say anything about it. He just has to reflect on what God has been doing, you know, in his life. And so when they give him that tablet, that's what the scripture says, right? So when they give him that tablet and he writes the name John, all of a sudden his tongue is freed. You understand? It's divine involvement. And he begins to prophesy. And it says in verse 67, it says his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. That means that he speaks verbally. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. And then here, listen, here is really the crux of what God has done in, because remember, his question is, how can I be sure of this? And here he is prophesying over his son. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And then it says in verse 80, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. Here's a man that made a mistake. A godly man, a faithful man, who learned his lesson through quiet reflection and having to just be quiet because he couldn't speak. He did what God told him, not what others expected. And because of what God did in his life and did in his heart, Zechariah emerged from his lesson with a deeper trust of the Lord. I'm saying to us, church, that when we go through difficult things, or when you make a mistake, or when you make a bad choice, there's divine involvement. See, sometimes it's because we think about ministry and we think about all those kind of things, and there's power and there's prestige. Oh, you know, you're senior pastor. You're an elder, student minister. You're head of this or you're head of that. And so we're into this power thing. But you understand that it's not about power and it's not about title. It's not about prestige. God works in really unusual ways. And sometimes it's in the season of humility and realizing, you know, God, I've not trusted you. And here I am standing up before the congregation saying, you know, you need to trust God, folks. You need to trust God. What is it that is in your heart that you struggle with? What is it in a relationship or in your marriage or with your kids? And sometimes the struggle is not so much in you, but it's with somebody else. And what if it's years of reflection? I mean, think about a relationship. I mean, sometimes, you know, spouses, you know, I mean, there's a struggle and a spouse will pray and pray and pray for years. And then finally, God does something. That's challenging, isn't it? But we believe in the same God that caused Mary to be pregnant without sexual relationship from a man. You know, sometimes silence is good, isn't it? Sometimes reflection is good. I'm grateful that God is a powerful God. I'm grateful as I, you know, when we were worshiping today, and excuse me because I just, you know, I mean, as we come to the end of a year in this celebration, I mean, you know, I mean, there are things that God's doing in my heart. And so I just wanted to publicly confess, you know, God, I know I've missed you. I know, Lord, there have been choices, Lord, that you're correcting in my life. And, Lord, I want to confess how much I need you. I want to confess, Lord, that I'm still, that there are those places, God, that are somewhat dark. And Lord, I'm trying to bring them into the light. And Lord, I'm trying to allow, you know, just the surrender that needs to happen in my own life. And all the while, by being in a place to try to encourage others and to care for others. And the truth is, all of us, because we are all priests and ministers, are all called to that. Do you know that? There's not one of you that's sitting out there that can't relate to Zechariah, because the Bible says you're a priest, a royal priesthood. And there are days and seasons you go through, and the truth is you don't feel like a royal priesthood. You don't even know what a royal priest is. What is that, God? The kids are yelling. My car is broken down, and I don't have enough money in the bank. My marriage is tanking. My kids are in trouble. But because of God's divine involvement in our life, He doesn't leave us alone. God doesn't work on the same timetable. I don't believe that He views success and power and prestige in the same way that we do, especially here in America. This morning, if you're here and you've never committed your life personally to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm inviting you to do that. It's just simply a personal choice that because of God's word and the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit that you can make today or in the days ahead. And I'm inviting you to do that. Is your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ personal? Do you have a personal relationship with Him? Let's pray. Father, I just ask you, Lord, for any person that's here, Lord, they could be, have been in this church for a while, could be a young person, or it could be somebody that's Lord Older. I pray for people to know you, God. I pray by the power of your Spirit, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts about having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for us today. Lord, I thank you, God. I thank you that, Lord, I know it's difficult when you just put your hand on us and light comes into our lives. And, Lord, we look at our hearts not to be always looking at ourselves, God, but something that you bring, divine involvement. And I pray over this church, God, you're doing really good things here. But this church has a destiny, Lord. Lord, this prophetically, this church is called to be more than we are right now. And so, God, I'm praying in Jesus' name. Lord, stir us up. Lord, stir us up so that, Father, we look to you and we're saying, God, you know, what way in me is not pleasing to you? And Lord, the very power that raised Christ from the dead, Lord, is in us to help us, Lord, to become what you desire. God, we thank you, Lord, that you made a way of peace for us. Lord, we thank you that John the Baptist, Lord, came to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for all of that. We thank you most of all, Lord, for your Son, Lord, who gave his body to be broken and shed his blood that we might be able to come into your presence, God. Lord, that we might, I mean, anything that's good that's in me, God, if it is good, it's because of you and not because of me. And it's because of what you have done. And so, Lord, I pray for us, God. I pray, Lord, that we would be light. Lord, that we would build relationships, Lord, that we would look to neighbors and friends, Lord, and be able, Lord, to share our faith and to be able to serve them and to help them see the kingdom of God. Lord, thank you for this December. Thank you that we're celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that your kingdom, Lord, is being extended. We bless you now and we thank you and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.